live from the Pro Alligator Wrestlers Hall of Fame in Bayou-La-Batre, Louisiana. You know what it is. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred, hard-hitting discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, philosopher, historian, whiz kid, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers. A man who has read the entire set of World Book Encyclopedias, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you ready? Marksman, sculptor, well-traveled storyteller, the seven-time World Welterweight Alligator Wrestling Champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who can push a penny in one ear and have it come out the other. The youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yay! Giddy up!
You know, when you were going through those introductions there, Rick.
Yes, sir.
You talked about the World Book Encyclopedias.
Yeah.
I used to love those. And you said that you read the entire World Book Encyclopedia. I thought you were going to follow up by saying that I had looked at all the pictures in the World Book Encyclopedia.
I'm 100% sure that's true. What I remember about the World Book Encyclopedias is that Mom and Dad, somehow an encyclopedia salesman, came and talked them into buying encyclopedias, and that they came in the mail, like one volume at a time, and they'd be wrapped up. And that Mom and Dad's position was that you didn't open the next one until you read the first one. And that we had a stack of them there for a while that were unopened volumes of the encyclopedia while we were like plowing through some of the early ones. I think towards the end they let us just open all of them and put them on the shelf. But I think my knowledge...
Those were wonderful things.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't think you can buy... Can you buy encyclopedias anymore?
You can go out and buy a used set for nothing.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, I mean, in terms of, like, an actual stack of Britannicas or... What was the name of them? I can't even remember the name of them. World Book and Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah. Why? Why would you? It'll fit on, you know, like a tiny bit of space on your phone. You could read the whole damn thing.
Oh, I know. And anything you want to know... You can look up online, and it might be mildly true. I mean, back in the day...
Well, right.
The Wikipedia has taken its place.
Anymore.
Wikipedia took its place.
Yeah, kind of. Wikipedia, not necessarily all true.
Oh, yes, it is. It's been verified by... It's been verified by the entire community of America, you know, who have the opportunity to correct it and fix it. If you read it on Wikipedia, man...
So Wikipedia is then a collective intelligence of the internet world.
I think that's an excellent way to put it. Wikipedia is the collective...
The World Wide Web.
The collected intellect of the world. So if the world is full of nonsense, then so will Wikipedia.
I'm good with that.
I'd say so.
All right, Rick, growing up, what was the most dangerous critter that you could possibly expect to encounter in the wilds of our surroundings in our youth?
Well, I once saw a small bear down at camps while
it's
I was spraying. I absolutely did. So I would say a bear is the most dangerous animal that I could have encountered because I encountered a small bear.
Which is fascinating because it was the one and only bear ever to be sighted in the state of Illinois. So it was like miraculous, immaculate conception of bears because there was no other bear there to give it birth and not since.
Well, you know what?
That's just fascinating.
Okay, wise guy. Let me explain why this is possible. Because there are people who had like wild animal farms that would release their bears into the wild sometimes around where we were. It didn't have to be just miracled up by Jesus. You know, it's possible that it was just released by someone and I happened to see it. And therein lies the truth.
Why did nobody else ever see this bear running about?
It died and was eaten.
by one of the other apex predators of the area.
All right, so what's the most dangerous animal you've seen, if it's not a bear?
Well, I guess probably the most dangerous animal would have been the white-tailed deer.
White-tailed deer have killed more people than almost any other animal in Illinois.
I think combined.
Yeah, mainly by jumping into cars. I mean, I don't think they sit out in the woods and attack people.
No, they don't attack people, but they do cause trouble on the highway. So that, but yeah, I guess if there's something that you feared, like I never really feared a deer. I wasn't afraid to drive down the road. But there was always that possibility of encountering, like, a rattlesnake.
Rattlesnake.
And you always figure, rattlesnake could kill you.
Rattlesnake could kill you. There's no question. What about copperhead? Copperhead could kill you, too, couldn't it?
I don't know if copperhead could kill you. It'd make you sick, wouldn't it? But I don't know if it'd kill you.
I don't know. I can truthfully say I don't know that I've ever been bitten by a snake. Have you ever been bitten by a snake, venomous or otherwise?
I've been bitten by a snake otherwise.
How so?
You know, like grabbing hold of like a garter snake and have it bite you on the hand where you're holding it. And it just leave a little row of teeth marks, but it didn't really hurt much.
They say that, like, if you find a black...
It's just the idea of being bitten by a snake.
Yeah, if you find, like, a black snake in your basement, supposedly you can, like, grab them by the... behind the head. The snake will wrap around your arm, and you just carry it outside and let it go, because they're helpful animals. You don't want to kill them.
Beneficial, right. Yeah. But there's just something about grabbing a big snake and having it wrap all around your arm. And how could that not give you the... The
heebie-jeebies, the willies. There's people that do it, though.
Yeah, there are.
It's supposed to be really bad.
There's a rule?
Yeah.
I'm not one of them.
No. You're in the category of kill all, death to all snakes.
No, but I would use like a big stick or a pair of tongs or something to grab it and toss it out.
How about a coral snake?
Or just leave it in there. Leave it in there.
You ever seen a coral snake in real life?
Coral snakes are beautiful.
They are. I mean, they're fantastic, beautiful snakes. And there's some little rock. There's another snake that looks just like them. And you're supposed to be able to...
But the pattern's different.
The pattern's different. You're supposed to be able to tell them apart, that, like, red on yellow will kill a fellow or some... Or maybe it's some
Thank
other
God
yellow.
It rhymes.
It rhymes. But if you don't know what the rhyme is, it really doesn't help you, does it?
No, it doesn't. That's why you have... Ain't beautiful snake, you have to...
Okay.
I'm just kidding, of course.
What
this is leading me up to is there are other parts of the world where large, dangerous critters capable of killing you easily are just running wild.
Yeah, that was that business
I'm talking about.
Alligators.
Yeah, I'm talking alligators.
Alligators.
I'm talking our line of work.
I know. Our line of work. And recently... Now, I know that there are people that think that when we tell our alligator stories that it's all nonsense, but recently we had an opportunity to interview a real-life alligator wrestler, not unlike yourself.
Professional alligator wrestler, that's correct.
Down in Florida, and we actually watched part of his show. I mean, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, he had some interesting facts, and I think... Having grown up around alligators, you pick up on that as a little bit more than just stepping into the ring with one.
I think so. And this guy would go into the ring. We watched his show. Literally crawl on the back of this a darn big alligator, like 12 feet worth of alligator, drag it out by the tail, and proceed to pry its jaws open and stick his head in it.
Do you figure he fed that alligator like a bunch of alcohol or something to make it docile?
I figure he fed himself a bunch of alcohol to get in the ring with it. But
what I also enjoyed was he had a lot of recipes for
he did
for cooking up an alligator.
The guy was very friendly, and he agreed to be interviewed by you at the conclusion of his show, and we actually have an interview with this professional alligator wrestler, and it's in two parts. The first part of it was an interview where he's standing there holding a small alligator while he's talking to you and answering your questions. And then, because he was interested in the whole business of us interviewing him, he actually opened up the big cage where he does his wrestling, let us step in with him, and while he went in and wrestled it, you interviewed him for the second half of the show. So the second half of the interview, this guy's literally down in a pit wrestling an alligator while he's talking to us, if my memory serves.
And we're in the cage with him. Inside the cage with him.
Okay, so.
So do you have that? Let's go ahead and do that.
I do that. Let's go ahead and do that and see what people have to think.
Live from Wooten's Alligator Park in Everglades City, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. Alan, take it away. We've got a guest today.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you state your name, please?
My name is Jackson.
And Jackson, you are the... What is your title?
I like to say I'm an animal handler, because if I go into alligator wrestler, it's a 30-minute conversation anywhere I go. Dealerships, amusement parks, you name it. So I like to say we handle the animals.
But in the real world, you wrestle
alligators. We wrestle alligators. Yes, sir.
Just out of curiosity, how long have you been doing this?
On and off for about 10 years in total. I started when I was 17, young, dumb, trying to impress women.
Does that impress women a lot?
No, sir, it does not. It's like a car, a motorcycle. It impresses men.
Yeah. Well, we're impressed. I notice for our listeners, our grappler is holding a live alligator.
As we speak.
And what's this alligator's name?
Her name is Jelly Bean. She's about 5 years old, about 20 pounds, and at this size, she's just starting off in her world of being dangerous. A little bit larger, she'll be mating, taking fingers, wrists, hands, and being highly aggressive.
Okay, that leads me to the question of, at what size of an alligator do you become concerned about?
When it comes to a child, any size. They come out of the egg immediately death rolling, so if a little child was able to grab one, it would immediately try breaking, ripping, or even taking off the finger. For us adults, I would say, you're welcome, guys. At this size, fingers, nose, toes, and she's about a 5 foot alligator. Now, when it comes down to losing hands and limbs, you're getting to about 6-7 foot territory. Anything other than that, it could take your life.
Now, how many years did you say you've been doing this?
About 10 in total.
Okay, and we watched part of your show. We came in a little late, but you had pried the jaws open and put your head down in its open mouth.
Well, he tucked the head up under his chin.
Yeah, I saw that too. Have you ever been bitten?
Yes, sir, I have. Now, my worst wound comes from the tail. I've had my knee broken in surgery because they do use the tail as a weapon.
From the tail.
Correct. For Charlie, at his size, who I go in there with, he's a 10-foot, 400-pound American male. I've had thumbnail ripped off, joint crushed, finger ripped open, hand gashed open, and wrist fractured. So I've been pretty lucky to
And for the listeners, he's showing us his various scars as he's explaining this.
But he has all 10 fingers and toes. He's got it all, right?
Yeah, he's
still got them. If not, my wife would make me quit doing this.
All right.
So you did get a woman out of the deal.
No, sir, I was actually a mechanic in one of my wife. You know what they say, if you can't be handsome, be handy. So.
Okay, now, let me ask you this. Is this a career thing? Can you wrestle gators your entire life, or has there come a point where you say, I can't, you know, like professional football, you're too old to play the game anymore, your reflexes aren't the same?
I'm going to say it all comes down to your back. As long as you keep a good, strong back, especially when you're going up against the big ones, you can do it. I've seen 65-year-old men get in there.
So would you put yourself like in the Patrick Mahomes category or the Tom Brady?
I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Oh, that's towards the end of the career.
Well, nice and young. Because I have children now.
Okay.
If I didn't have children, I would do this until I got much older. But for now, if I lose a hand, I can't pick up my little girl.
Before you step in the ring over here, do you have to take precautions? Like if you go and like eat sushi right before you go in there? Yeah,
big cup of coffee every single morning, followed up by some monsters throughout the day. Now during the winter we are a little less cautious because they do get lethargic, but during the summer we're more of a set of, you know, just going in there, we're dancing with them, popping their jaws, wrestling them. I'm a big man. I stand at 6'3". I'm 280 pounds. That 10-foot alligator makes me feel tiny. You get in there, he'll start dragging you around, and oh, it's pure power.
Okay, again, another question. You said you have a family, you have a daughter. Do when your family shows up, do they get all like fidgety when you're in the arena?
My wife isn't a big fan. My 10-year-old, she's kind of, you know, not into them. But my 7-year-old, she goes around the school telling them they can't wait for me to retire so she can take over.
Okay, have you gone to school on career day?
No, not yet.
Oh, you need to do that.
Because I'm going to try to take one with me.
Okay, let's do a commercial. So we're going to pause this.
Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Dr. Ferd's Letter Steamer. Has this ever happened to you? Your spouse or child has received a card or a letter from someone else, and you're dying to know what's inside? Well, suffer no longer. Simply pop the card or letter into Dr. Ferd's steamer and watch that envelope open like a flower blooming. Now you can easily read what's inside. Then slip the letter back inside, reseal, and no one's the wiser. Get yours today. Dr. Ferd's Letter Steamer. Get a whole lot of mail to look inside? Well, then get the industrial model. Dr. Ferd's Letter Steamer. Void where prohibited. We now return with the second half of the interview with Action Jackson, alligator wrestler.
Okay, we're back. Alan,
okay, we're here at
Wooten's Alligator Park.
Wooten's Alligator Park, and we are about to meet Charlie.
Okay.
And Charlie is, what'd you say?
He's about 10 foot long. He's around 400 pounds, and he's about 30 years of age. Yeah, that little subtle hiss doesn't really want me in here messing with it.
Wow. There we go.
Oh, what a good picture. Thank you. Look up if you can. And for the listeners, our handler has just lifted a
10-foot alligator out of the water.
Out of the water. And how often do you do your show?
We usually do it once an hour, depending on how busy we get.
Okay. Are you the sole gator handler here?
I'm the main. We do have another guy that does about 2 days.
Is he a trainee or...?
He's getting it. He hasn't been bit yet, so he hasn't had that full experience.
Do you have a first alert button on you in case, you know, like...
No, sir, I got the Lord in heaven.
Okay.
Please make this thing let go of me. I'm sorry.
And how many years do you have to be an alligator wrestler before you get the gold chain with the gold alligator on it?
Like you're wearing.
Sit here and call it for real? About 5. You got to get bit at least once or twice.
So is it like being an astronaut that you don't get that... You don't get that astronaut pin until you've actually been to space. That you don't get your alligator pin until you've been bitten.
That's how it should be, because you get all these fellas that do it. I knew a man, 9 years did it. Didn't get bit once. Finally got bit. Quit the next day.
Quit the next day.
Yes, sir. Okay, I think my brother said he saw an alligator vertebrae over there by the wall.
Is that the...
So we have a chunk of their skull. It used to be a 14-foot alligator. And then he stepped on it, breaking it. So now his job is, he's got to eventually replace it.
Okay, so that's kind of like the back of the skull.
Yes, sir. When people get really interested, especially when we talk about the quarter kill spot. Now, like I said, this is 14 foot. That's the brain cavity.
Okay.
So, I mean, Charlie doesn't even know his name is Charlie.
Gotcha. This huge chunk of bone we got in front of us here.
Turn
now.
Back one more time, Alan.
Well, this is fascinating. What about the claws? I can see them.
So what they're mainly meant for doing is digging. They do climb chain link fences. They dig under them. But for the female, when she lays her nest, she digs, covers it to incubate it, and then she'll guard that nest until they hatch out.
Okay. Here at the park, like, we're looking over to our right, and there's a pen that's got 50-some-odd alligators in it. Do they ever get out? Like, in the middle of the night, do you come in and look at the grounds first thing in the morning and say,
Sheila's gone.
Every once in a blue moon, we'll come to either these guys getting out, or if you walk around that edge over there, we do every now and then have a nice 10, 12, 13-foot alligator sitting there in the trail. Okay.
So if they make it to the glades or the mangrove park, nobody goes in looking for them, right?
No, sir. Once they hit that, they're good to go.
Are these gators tagged or tattooed or
no,
have
sir,
a sensor on them
like
anywhere?
That. No, sir. Because we've actually
just like God made them,
just how they come, all natural. The only thing that's been happened is they've been introduced to people, and that's why they get brought in.
And gators are not endangered species, correct?
I mean, no longer anymore, especially here. They are just protected to stop people from harvesting them. That's
okay.
What used to happen. You could land at Miami Airport if that gas station was there back in the 60s, $2, you'd go home with the baby alligator.
Aww.
You could even, if a lot of folks would send them up north, putting them in boxes at the United States Postal Service would give you, and they would actually send them back home.
Airboat just went by, folks.
And they'd put them in the tanks, their toilets up in New York City? And,
if they made it, yes, sir. Okay. Once it gets too cold, they are in critical danger, especially at a small
range. Okay, you talked about alligator steaks. Have you ever fried up an alligator steak yourself?
Oh, yes, sir. Skinned them, fried them, deep fry them. That's how I like them. You do get people that bake them. You get people that saute them, but deep fried is the best way to
But you're saying it's just the tail from the back legs back?
The best part.
What, the jowl?
No, the tail.
Tail.
Now, the jowl you can eat. It's just that's going to be mixed with muscle and fat.
So depends on how hungry you are.
There you go. Just like the sides. That's more bit with pork and beef to bind it together to make burgers, stews, steaks. But the tails is straight meat, muscle, and that's the best part to eat on.
Lots of protein.
If it's been fed, they might be interested in you. But if it's protecting its baby, it's pretty high. So if you're just going by, just smile, wave, and it ain't going to bother you. Crocodiles will, not alligators. That's what makes Florida such an awesome environment. We have alligators and crocodiles.
Yeah.
Alligators are easy to handle. You see, the alligator's teeth go into their snout. So the tips of my fingers are callous. Just that's all I use to hold that mouth open. When you look at crocodiles, the teeth are outside. Their teeth are hollow, so as soon as you touch the teeth, instincts is to slam shut. So with him, I just barely hold it, and that's all that I got.
Okay, well, we were just about out of time on our show. We do want to give you one more chance to tell everybody your name again.
My name is Jackson.
Jackson, it's been a pleasure having you. It's been a great show.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Thank you, sir.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Premium Spaghetti and Meatballs. Looking for a quick, cheap, nutritious meal? Uncle Den has the answer. An all-in-one box of spaghetti, sauce, and meatballs just waiting to pop into your microwave. Everything is homegrown. Denno's perfect tomatoes make perfect sauce. And Uncle Den harvests his own spaghetti stalks at the peak of season so you know they're perfect. And the meatballs are hand-picked from bushes that were planted by Denno himself. So reach for a box of Uncle Den's all-in-one spaghetti and meatballs. Mamma mia, that's good spaghetti.
And now as an extra bonus, we'd like to play you a recording of a non-sanctioned professional alligator wrestling match.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to ringside. This is a non-title, 10-round but sanctioned championship rules professional alligator wrestling match. We've got a good, loud crowd tonight, and they're all excited to see some grade-A professional alligator wrestling. Let's go to our ring referee, Lou Paranella. Ladies and gentlemen, turn your eyes to the blue corner, weighing in at 225 pounds in the red trunks with the white stripes, the challenger, Action Jackson! And in the red corner, 15 feet long, 935 pounds, in the white trunks with the red stripes, the 15-time undefeated champion, Charlie the Terminator Gator! And now, to ringside for the call of the match. Okay, here's the bell. Jackson charges out of his corner and immediately drops down into a three-point defensive stance. The challenger looks confident. He looks like he's ready for anything tonight. What's the champ gonna do? The champ looks wary, but he slowly waddles out of the corner. Jackson looks like he's in the best shape of his life and ready to go the distance. Looks like we're in for a long night of... Wait! Here comes the champ! Jackson looks surprised. And well, he should be. The champ attacks with a... Oh, I'm not sure that move is allowed. Mabel, let's go. Jackson's down. And the champ is... Well... Oh. It looks like the match is over. Let's go to the ring, Judge. Okay, can I have your attention? In 23 seconds, the winner and still champion, Charlie the Dominator! Can we get the doctor and ambulance up here, please? Thank you.
Well, that's a hell of a thing, eh? Well, see you later from Rick Gator. Alligator!
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannolis Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. Because, well, you know, there aren't any.